All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. March 10th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Sunday. Woke up this morning. Oh, my God. I had the worst freaking headache. I was having a spell. I guess growing up or getting old, my problem is going to be vertigo, I guess. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm starting to get these little vertigo spells. I woke up this morning with a fucking terrible headache. Didn't really stay up late. I mean, the hour changed. I don't know. We have had big storms. Yesterday, a big storm came through here. I mean, I don't know if is that real? Like, the barometric pressure can actually hurt your head. I mean, I've been sold on it for a long time. I'll say it. It must be the weather change. I don't even know if it's true. Is it true? I don't know. But I know this morning we had a big storm come through last night, and I woke up this morning with a terrible freaking headache. And I had a little bit of vertigo, this spinny shit. And I got up this morning, and I was like, ah. And I thought maybe I'd just been laying in bed too long, even though I didn't get up. I mean, I got up like at 8 and just fumbled around the house a little bit. And then my daughter's like, can you take me to get breakfast? So I took her, and man, it was a struggle. And I came back and laid back down, and I was like, it is so bad. And the worst part about it reminds me of being drunk, right? It reminds me of those days. I mean, not it doesn't hurt me in the soul, but it physically reminds me of what those days, you know, when I used to wake up hungover with that brutal headache, just looking for some Tylenol. Oh my God, make this pain stop. And that's sort of how I felt this morning, and got back in bed, and then I guess I fell back asleep for a little bit, and then woke up, and my headache was gone, and the vertigo was gone, and I felt a fucking 100 times better. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go get a hamburger. I'm hungry. I just finished a brutal battle, and I need a burger. And so I came over to the salon. I'm going to get something to eat, but I thought I wanted to sit down and try to do a podcast. I went to a great meeting last night. Great meeting. You know, sort of getting back into the meetings, right? Out of the traditions. Not that they're not great. They're great. But it was just good to be back in a meeting, doing a step. And the step was the fifth step. And what I'm learning a few things. One of these new things that have become obvious, that a lot of the step meetings that I go to are sort of all around the same step, you know. So we did the fifth step the other day at a different meeting, but this week we did the fifth step at the Saturday night meeting, and it's just a great reminder how much I love that step. And it's such a shift, right? It's such a turning point. It is such a, for me, it's real a milestone, even honestly getting to that point, right? Even being able to stay sober long enough to even get to my fifth step. But just the two, because I've done, you know, I think I've shared this. I mean, I've done two fifth steps, right? I've done the steps twice. Two different people, right? Two different people doing the steps. And the first time doing the steps, coming into this program of a more like I have to, more of a victim of alcoholism, just filled with old behavior, right? I'm not drinking. I'm getting better. But all of the support that I have behind me doing everything that I'm doing is all still riddled and saturated in self-centeredness, right? Still have it, right? Still have, it's just part of my DNA, right? I'm still got the self-centeredness, right? But back in those days, at that time, just all self, right? And no clue, right? No clue about my condition or my situation, right? And, you know, going through the steps, doing the fifth step, not doing a very complete fifth step, embarrassed, right? And ashamed, scared, all fear, right? Who gets afraid? Self gets afraid, right? And when you're as saturated with self as I was full of fear, right? And so whether it was doing the fucking step, reading it out loud, sharing it with another person, all of it, fear, 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 right? And not getting great results, didn't know what to expect, right? Did not know what to expect, and did it, and it was fine. Right, I felt like I remember telling myself, I don't see how it can be that important that we tell everything. Right? Because self's behind that. Self's like, we don't need to tell everything. Pretty much everything, right? Just obviously the bad stuff, but not everything, right? It turns out some of the dumbest shit that I didn't want to tell wasn't even that bad. Very typical. A lot of shame and stuff for early kids and stuff. But, you know, I think we all go through that kind of stuff. And we share it, and it turns out it's not a big deal. But self's like, this is horrible. And and so, you know, I put as much effort into it as I did. And, you know, eventually drank. I do not want to say that because I didn't do a great fifth step, that's the reason I drank. It didn't help. It definitely didn't help. But I was, you know, I was half-assing it the whole time. Looking back now at it, right? During the moment, I felt like I was, you know, I was getting to a meeting every day, doing everything I thought I was supposed to do. I thought I was in it to win it. But today, looking back on it, I realized that, you know, it was a half-ass effort, and I got exactly out what I had put in. Yeah, it was an interesting journey. During this whole period, it seemed like everything was great. And like I said, I don't know if I could blame that, but it didn't help. And so eventually would drink and then came back, right? Finally came back and, you know, rolled up my sleeves, different sponsor. Not sure I'd changed my perspective yet at the time, right? Just still sort of doing the same thing over, expecting different results, right? But you know, one of the things I've learned with this program, you know, I've talked about, you know, all the fun sayings, time takes time. There's a lot to that thing, right? Time takes time. And duh, right? Duh, Tom, of course it takes time. But there is something that really happens over time that I don't think I could have. There's not like the speed pass at Disneyland, right? There's not the cut the line, right? It is a real time grind. And, you know, I have to live with myself 24 hours a day, right? And I have to go through all these experiences and I have to reflect and I have conversations. And I, you know, one of the things I know or have learned is for a person getting sober is that this is my life, right? Sobriety is my life. I can't dance in and out of this project. Right, I can't keep a toe in and a toe out. This is what I get. This is what I do. I have to bathe myself in recovery, and I believe if you're not willing to do that, you're not really probably going to stay sober, which is absolutely fine. Excuse me, it's fine. It is fine if you don't stay sober, right? I mean, it's fine for me, and that's what I've learned. And you know, and the guy that was just before I came in to get sober, nobody gave a shit about me. So why is anybody going to give a shit about me now, right? This is my journey. This is my problem. I have to fix it. And so if people come in and they're half-assing it and putting a toe in and this kind of shit and they drink, yeah, that sucks. I hope you're okay. I hope you can pull out of it. If you can't, nice knowing you. Good luck. It's going to be rough. But if you can pull your own cranium out of your ass, right, and see the light and start to figure it out and start to realize this is my life there, as soon as I step away from this life of recovery in this program, I'm probably headed towards a drink. You're either in the program, right? Right. And I think that always sounds funny. You're in the program, right? Like it's brainwash or a cult. I needed brainwashing, right? That's what this fifth step is. It's washing my brain. It's washing my spirit. It's washing my soul. Right? If I'm going to take on this project, if I'm going to climb a mountain, am I going to get good shoes? Absolutely. Right? Am I going to take rope? Damn right. Am I going to wear a coat? Right? Am I going to do, let's say I need 10 things and I check off 9, right? And I head up the mountain and I get to that point, right? And I realize I didn't bring water or food, right? Or a rope or whatever it is, right? The other 9 things don't mean anything because that one last thing that I didn't check off the box, I will die from. I will die on the side of the mountain because I forgot to check one box off. And that's the way this recovery is. And that's the way I've learned. Recovery is nice and addiction's nice because sometimes it'll even give you, like the devil's like, good try, good shot. You need a little bit more of a beat down. Come back again when you're ready, right? But check your fucking boxes. And that's what happened to me. You know, I didn't do the fifth step that well. You know, I was more concerned. Self was more concerned about what people would think about me more than I was concerned about finding recovery. Right? There was no humility. And it starts talking about humility in this step. You know, we have got to fucking have some humility. Crow is best served warm, right? It's just all, this is the real breakdown. You know, this is where we come in the fourth step. We really take a hard look. Listen, like I said, if I'm going to climb a mountain, I want to have everything I need. And if one of the boxes needs to be that I do this moral inventory to really see all of the things that have gone on, right? To see where all of these, you know, my defects are showing up. My morals are showing up. You know, if I can identify this stuff, right? I know what it's like to walk around with a bunch of bad behavior and bad memories. You know, it's all fear, right? You're always worried, oh my God, I remember when I did that. Oh, my God. Oh, I remember when I did that. Oh, you know, it's all this anxiety we carry. Why not start off fresh? Let's identify it all, right? And then when we do our fifth step, we figure out why we're doing it, right? I love the Mr. Jones story. It is such a simple little story, how Mr. Jones hated this and Mr. Jones hated that. And then you start realizing, well, Mr. Jones hates this because so-and-so's got this because so-and-so did this, which I personally chose not to do. So where I'm at is my own fault. This is about learning about being accountable. You can't get rid of things. You can't fix things unless you can admit that you were part of the reason. And that's what these steps right here start doing. Right? And then we have to find humility. And that's usually in the form of sitting down and telling all of your filth and dirty secrets to another human, right? I remember the first time I did it, and I said I didn't do a very good job, and I was afraid. The second time I did it with my sponsor, Matt, I was too embarrassed, right? But when we did a four-step, you know, I didn't spend weeks and weeks of listing all this shit. I did a few things, and he said, that's enough. He said, it's just about the willingness, and you have willing. You're willing to dig into this. I mean, I shared last night at the meeting, I'm always doing a four step, right? And if we're not, we always have, you know, I mean, it's sort of that like the 10th step, right? Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. That means that we're still constantly doing like little four steps on situations that come on in the day because we're staying in the day, right? We're not doing four steps about the past. That's why this is an important thing to do, is because we can get it all done. We can look at all of it, we can admit it all, and we can get rid of it, right? And now, when stupid shit comes up in our life on a daily basis and we do make dumb mistakes, right? Because like I said last night, you know, what I've learned is that these 12 steps is I end up in a living in a world minus fear, right? Fourth step is filled of all the things that are scary, right? And so today when I do something or say something or behave in a way that is going to start is like adding a rock to drag around my neck, right? Some fucking stupid thing I've done and I feel stupid, or I've said something and I have fear, all of a sudden I can go to that 10th step and I can look at it and I can clean it up, right? What was that about, right? How can you be jealous of or you know, envy, right, of somebody else at this point in your recovery? How could you go there? I don't know, but I did. Well, let's fucking clean it up, right? Just happened. Just, you know, this is a typical situation that happened. I've had several of them. I talked about the guy that flipped out in the salon about when I mentioned Kennedy. He, you know, I cleaned that up, right? I didn't do anything. I'm so sober. I'll go clean other people's messes up, right? He was a complete idiot. He embarrassed himself. He obviously has no program. And I still went and apologized to him, right? I had done nothing. Like I said, though, if my feet were there, I played a role. And so I have to treat every situation like that. Even though that guy was out of his mind, even though he stepped out of bounds, I'm the one that cleaned it up, right? Because I start thinking, I can imagine him sitting in the car going, man, I really shouldn't have taken that far, but I have no idea how to clean this up, right? But we do. We learn this in a program, right? These are the steps. We learn how to clean this shit up. And so when I just come into the salon today, there, you know, there's my salon's next to a breakfast place and the fucking parking lot is packed, right? And there's a spot and I parked in it and it's tight. And these two guys are sitting in the car next to me as I pull in. And the guy rolls down the window and pulls in his rearview mirror. And I rolled down my window and I looked down. He goes, you're awfully close. And I go, well, you're on the line. Their car was parked on the line. And they go, it is? And I go, it is. Oh, we're sorry. I go, it's all good. I'm just trying to park. I promise you, sir, I will not hit your car. Right. But, you know, I am aware and I see that you're concerned. So I'm going to be double aware. Right. And so, you know, I can get into situations, but I know, listen, could I have gone, yeah, you asshole, you're parked on the line, right? I didn't have to do that today. I can be like, well, you're on the line, but I'm aware, you're aware, I'm going to be super careful getting out, you'll be careful, and we're all good, right? This is, we get to start over, and then we get to manage it on a daily basis with the 10th step. And that is so big, right? But we got to get it out, right? We have to show, because if you dump out your dirty secrets, you know that shows your willingness. Like you're going to walk through the fire and the freedom, right? If I'm going to climb that mountain, I want to make sure I have all the right stuff. I don't want to forget anything and I don't want to take any extra shit with me. And it's the same thing with recovery. I don't want to fucking find myself halfway up at the mountain and realize that I didn't share all my dirtiest secret and this is where I'm going to freeze and die. And it happens. It happens. And you know, the fun thing is that once you've cleared all that shit and you got all that shit to go to climb the mountain, you can climb the mountain anytime. There ain't nothing stopping you. Right? Because the 10th step allows us to clean up things on a daily basis. But ideally, we're not doing stupid shit anymore. Right? Back to the 3rd step. We turn our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding, which means we make better choices that reflect better actions in our life. Right? It's all coming together, right? This is package. It's the mountain climbing package, right? I'm going to climb a mountain. I'm going to start making the right choices, right? So that we're headed in the right direction. And we get into that 4th step. The 3rd step is so important, right? And there's so much to the 3rd step. When we start making better choices, it reflects in our life. We're also building a relationship with God, right? When I make a better choice in a day, like just outside, you know, I could have been like a dick. I decided to make a better choice and was friendly. And today I don't have to carry that burden of anxiety of my bad behavior. Right? So it starts with that 3rd step. We're still, you know, we're building relationships with that 3rd step. We're making the right decisions, right? The better we do a 3rd step, right, in our daily lives, the less we have to do a 10th step. right? They all work together. This is really about climbing the mountain, right? I was about to die at the base. And this is about learning how to climb the freaking mountain without dying, and I love it. And I'm just so grateful. It was such a good meeting last night. A guy, you know, this meeting that I go to on Saturday nights is small. And, you know, a few people come in and out. And this guy spoke last night, did a great job, new to the area. There was a friend of mine who picked up a chip for 16 years. Congratulations to that person. That is awesome. I saw my other buddy who just celebrated a year, right? The other thing that seems to be sort of going on, and I will agree, and I shared it in the meeting, and people are starting to talk about it, is an addiction to our cell phone and to social media. You know, be aware of it. I'm aware of it. More people are talking about it. Two people last night in the meeting both admitted they have an addiction to social media. You know, social media doesn't put us in jail. I mean, like, if you're just looking at regular social media, right, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever these platforms are, and you're into them, we're not going to end up in jail, right? Now, if you're up to some sinister shit and you're, you know, going beyond, you're going into the bad places, hey, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But if it's just looking at social media, scrolling through with the thumb over and over and over, and, you know, we have to be careful. I admit it. I have become addicted to fucking social media, and it's not good. And I've shared in the podcast many times. I've removed things off my thing. I'm not removing Facebook because, you know, I listened to that podcast. I'm not going to remove Facebook because those are some of my old friends that I want to stay in contact, which is just an addiction telling me not to get rid of it. But I'm not getting rid of it because I literally have nothing else to do. There are things I like to look at. I have got to just be better about it, right? And but I think we're all starting to become aware of it. And listen, if you're having anxiety and you're finding stress in your life and you just can't figure out why, take a break from your phone. Just take a break. Or don't. But, you know, investigate, right? We don't have to read 100 things and 100 people tell us different things. You choose how happy you want to feel. That's just a fact. And, you know, I'm finding that that social media is getting under my skin. The other day, I think, probably know about it, Facebook went down. Facebook's down! And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. And when Facebook went down, then Facebook came back up. It's back! But it was connected to my Instagram, which I deleted, and it kept telling me, you need to connect into your Instagram. I was like, oh, God. Facebook was mad at me. I'm kidding. But it was like, you need to get your Instagram back on your phone, right? You need to, your session has expired, I think it said. But it kept giving me these messages. So, of course, I wanted to, you know, fix it. So I opened and put Instagram back on my phone to fix it, of course. And now I've been looking at it again. Damn it. And, scrolling through the dumbest human beings in the planet. No disrespect. You're all doing awesome shit, but my God. You know, it's really bad. All right. Anyway, point is, doing the fifth step. Listen, if you're climbing this fucking mountain and it's a life or death situation, make sure you're prepared, right? You don't want to figure out at the tip that, oh, it's important that I brought, you know, a bottle of water. Right, the most obvious shit. And we were hey, you need water? No, I'm good. Hey, you need water? Nope, I'm good. Do you need some water? Nope, I'm good. And then you get to the top of the mountain, you ain't got water, and you're going to die. Right, because I still, you know, one of my favorite stories is the guy with the house, right? And the guy pulls up and he says, hey, man, you got to go. He goes, it's going to flood. And you got to leave or you're going to drown. And he says, I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. He'll take care of me. I'm going to stay. And the guy says, okay. Right. And the rain starts and the floodwaters start to come up. And the guy, another guy comes by and he's, you know, comes by in a boat. Right. And he says, hey, man, it's going to flood. You got get in the boat. I'll take you out of here. And the guy's like, I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. I'm going to stay. And then the floodwaters rise, and the man's on the roof, and the helicopter flies over, and he says, "Hey, man, get in the ladder. We'll rescue you. You're going to drown." And he says, "I love the Lord, and the Lord loves me, and I'm going to stay. He will take care of me." And, of course, he drowns. And he's at the pearly gates, and he says, "Lord, why did you, you know, not take care of me?" He goes, "What are you doing here? I sent you a guy on a bike. I sent you a guy in a boat, and I sent you a guy in a helicopter, right? Why didn't you listen to any of those things?" And that's sort of how this recovery is, right? You know, people tell me, "Oh, you got to do a good four step. You need to really dig in and do a good fifth step." And I didn't believe them. And eventually, you know, I drowned, and that was unfortunate and unnecessary. All right, let me read the daily reflections and get out of here. I got to go get a hamburger. I'm hungry. And I'm excited. I'm excited that I feel better because I was not feeling very well. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Love it. Today, it's my choice. I love that. March 10th. We invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. Yes, we have. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. With the realization and acceptance that I had played a part in the way my life had turned out came a dramatic change in my outlook. It was at that point the AA program began to work for me. In the past, I had always blamed others, either God or other people, for my circumstances. I never felt that I had a choice in altering my life. My decisions had been based on fear, pride, or ego. As a result, those decisions led me down a path of self-destruction. Today, I try to allow my God to guide me on the road to sanity. I am responsible for my actions or inactions, whatever the consequences may be. That's right. That is so cool. If my feet were there, I played a role. And that's something that I had to realize. And, you know, I tried to never forget, you know, I don't want to, you know, whatever situation, if there's a situation that happens in front of me, somehow I played a role in it. And I, whether I need to fix it or whatever it is, I'm accountable today. Awesome. Have a great day. Later.